Welcome to the Destiny Podcast.
Let me tell you how, like a preacher like me, how I get sermons, how I get what I'm going to say to you, is first God speaks it to me, and he deals with me, and he takes it into my heart, and then it becomes working in my life. See, only what is working in your life has power when you speak it back out again. God doesn't bless parakeets, amen? You just heard something, you got to be a voice and not an echo, amen? And so when we receive things from God and it's working in our life, then that's why when you get up to speak it out to other people, it has power, because it has power in your life, amen? And so everything that I put onto a DVD or a CD is something that God has spoken and is working in my life. It's not a theory. It's not something I just thought up. It's not some nice little sermon that I put together that sounded cute with a few funny stories in it. It's something that God has actually done and has worked in my life. And I know it will work for you because it's worked for me. And so I have a preaching on the kingdom out there. If you don't know what the kingdom of God is, how can you be a part of it? Amen. And what is the kingdom? It's a great question. Jesus spoke to his disciples. They asked him a very, very important question. They said, Master, Luke chapter 11, teach us to pray. Teach us what to pray for. And Jesus said to them, he said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First and foremost, you acknowledge God as your source of everything. That's the first thing you do when you pray, is you acknowledge God as the source of everything. And then he said, pray that the kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Now listen, he didn't say pray for healing first. He didn't say pray for prosperity first. He didn't say pray that things would work out. Pray for peace. Pray for the power. Pray for... The first thing he said you ask God for when you pray is pray that the kingdom comes into your life. But what is the kingdom? And this is what we talk about on this DVD. The kingdom is weird for us, because we live in a democracy, so we think we have a say in how things work. And we don't understand that this is a kingdom. We don't have a king in America. We have a president. We have people we elect. But the kingdom works a certain way. In order for there to be a kingdom, there first must be authority. You have to be under authority, and you have to walk in your authority. If you don't have authority and understand authority, then you cannot bring order. A king, when he sits on his throne, the first thing he does is he brings order and into his kingdom. And when there is order in the kingdom functions well. And when the kingdom functions correctly, everybody is blessed. And see, here's what happens. We pray for blessings in our life, but yet things are out of order. Come on, amen. We want God to bless us, but things are not in order because things are not under the right authority. We are not under the right authority. Amen. But we want God's blessing. We want God to get involved in our situation. And we want the kingdom to come. But first, there must be authority, order, and structure, and then blessing will come. And this is what the kingdom of God does in our life. And you see it throughout Scripture. Then one of the most important messages that I've ever preached before is called Finding Your Authentic Self. Many of us, we are dealing with a fragmented picture of who we really are in Christ. Because people have said things to us about our life and who we are and what we're supposed to be that is completely opposite of what God says about you. Come on, say amen now. Amen. And we are dealing, many of us, with a wounded self-image. We are dealing with an idea and a picture of who we are, so we are off balance and insecure. And I was in Korea, and I was with the pastor of the largest church in the world, Dr. Cho. And I had a moment when we were eating lunch with him, and I asked him a question. I said, how did you build the largest church in the world? And he simply turned to me, and he says, I built it because I have a relationship with God. And that so impacted me that I went back to my hotel room, and I said, what does that mean? Because I thought I had a relationship with God, but I'm not doing anything that great for the kingdom yet. And God began to speak to me about what does it mean to be a real son and a real daughter of God. And it changed my life forever. And this message, I preach this all over the world, and people have told me that after they've heard this, their life has been completely transformed, because it transformed my life. And I want to encourage you to pick that up. It will help you tremendously. And then one of our latest CDs is called Sink, Understanding the Difficult Seasons of God. If you can understand what God is doing in your life, then it gets a lot easier. Amen? If you can understand why stuff is happening to you. And this is what happened with the disciples. How many people know that the disciples had a little meltdown after Jesus left them? Come on, if you're reading the scriptures, there's a scripture in Matthew that says, Peter, when they found him, was fishing naked. That's someone that had a little meltdown. That's someone that had a full tilt, just brain freeze, just clocked out, clock, clock. And why did that happen? Was because they didn't understand what was happening in their life. And this is the pattern that Jesus was speaking to them about how our life is lived in different seasons. And seasons change. And it's not because you're doing anything wrong. It's not because there's something bad happened to you or you're in sin. It's just that the season changes. And this is what happened. He's sitting at dinner with them, and they don't even see him. And the Bible says that he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. And these are the seasons of our life. There's a season when God takes you. Come on, amen. You were lost, he found you, he took you out of something, he saved you from something. Yeah. Then there's a season where he blesses you. It's very easy for you. Many of you in this room are in that season. You sneeze, and blessings come out. You see, and oh, here's a prayer answered, right? It's easy, and it's supposed to be, because this is the season that God gives to all of us where it's easy. But then the Bible says, after he took the bread, he blessed it, then he broke the bread. And there's a season we all come into where God begins to shape us and break us and mold us into something. And we think it's the devil. We think we're doing something wrong when all God is trying to do is in that season, he's not concerned about your comfort. He's concerned about your character. He's not concerned about what you're doing. He's concerned about what you're becoming. And if we don't understand the season we're in, then we don't understand that at the end of the breaking season, the Bible says, then he gave the bread out. We want to be used by God. We want God to flow through us. We see the power of God moving in people's lives. We see people that are strong for the Lord and on fire for him. We say, I want to be like that, but there seems like there's something wrong. Well, the problem is we're not willing to go through the breaking season. We fight it. We resist it. We activate prayer chains. Come on. We want the pastor to anoint us with oil. We want people to pray for us. And really, you just need to go through it. The only way out is through. And this is what that CD is about. It will help you tremendously because it helped me. Amen. Now, listen to me now. The message I'm going to share with you is something that has saved, literally saved my life on many occasions. I'm not talking figuratively. I'm talking literally. I'm talking about something that has so transformed me as a man and as a man of God that what I'm going to share with you, if you will get a hold of this, you will absolutely leave this room completely different than what you came in there, and that is no joke. You will absolutely have something in your spiritual arsenal, a weapon in your tool belt, something that as you go forth, wherever you go back to, wherever you're going to, you will begin to use this and begin to move in another dimension in the realm of the Holy Spirit like you've never had before. And I don't care if you're 6, 7, 8, or 18, this will work for you if you listen to what I'm going to tell you today. Come on, playtime is over. Come on. Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, we have something very, very curious that takes place. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, talking to the disciples, which is he's talking to all of us. He says, and unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But not unto them that are outside. All these things are done in parables or stories. They don't understand them. But for you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Now that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But in our life, there are many mysteries. There are many things that are beyond our understanding, beyond our intellect, beyond our problem-solving skills. And as young people, you are faced with situations and problems that you cannot just think your way out of. You cannot just maneuver your way out of some of the things that you're facing and some of the obstacles that are in your life right now. And many times we are faced with things that are mysteries for us. There are many mysteries that the Bible talks about. There's the mystery of Christ. How is it that we can be saved in Christ, but Christ is not here, he's in heaven, but we're in him, in heaven, but we're here on earth? Go, you don't stop to think about these kind of things, do you? We're in Christ, but Christ is in heaven, but we're here on earth, but we're in him. And the Bible says, even though I'm walking around here in San Jose, the Bible says I'm seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. That means I'm actually sitting down right now as I'm standing up walking around. How is this possible? It's a mystery. The mystery of Christ. The mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of salvation. How is it that we can believe with our heart and confess with our mouth, and all we do is speak out a few words, and the greatest gift that could ever be given to us, we receive it at that moment, and now we are new creations. Even though you don't look any different, your hair color doesn't change, your eye color doesn't change, nothing on the outward changes about you, but it says you're a new creation. This is a mystery. And here's the problem with mysteries. If you've ever seen a great movie like Sherlock Holmes, or you've seen a movie where there's a big mystery ending, how would you like it that at the end, 10 minutes before the movie ended, the movie burnt out and you didn't know what the ending was? You'd be upset, right? It's like that for many of us in Christianity, but we're not upset about it. You're not upset about it. You look into the Bible, stuff doesn't make sense. You're not upset. You look into the scriptures and God gives you promises, but you don't see how they're manifesting, but you're not upset. There's things that preachers get up and tell you that you should have, and this is who you are, but you don't see it, you don't feel it, you don't know it's manifesting in your life. It's like the ending, it's like a mystery to you. You don't know the ending, but you're not upset. Like you would be if the movie or the DVD stalled 10 minutes. How many of you have that happen to you before? You're watching a great film, and at the end, your DVD gets scratched. It's like, oh my God! You take it out, you blow on it, you try to rub it, get some alcohol, you know. We're going to see the end of this movie. If you're really desperate, you go down to the store and get a different copy. Come on. But for some reason, we look into Scripture with all these mysteries, and we're not frustrated by that. We just let it go. But the Scripture tells us in Mark chapter 11, it's given unto us to know. God wants us to know the mysteries of the kingdom, the mysteries of God. He wants to reveal them to you. He doesn't want you to be missing the last 10 minutes of the greatest teaching, the greatest thing that can happen to you on earth. Let me show you one more scripture, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, this is Paul, the apostle, speaking. And in chapter 3, verse 9, he says this. Come on, when you're there, say amen. Amen. And he says this. He says, and to make all men see, to make all men, everybody see, what is the fellowship of the mystery? From the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This means there are things that have been hidden for us for a very long time. But he says, to the intent that now, everybody say now. Now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not a month, but now. Amen. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now unto principalities and powers, that faithful basis might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That not next week, not a month from now, not 3 months from now, does God want you to understand the deep things of the Bible. Not a day from now, not an hour from now, but right now, things that were hidden from you about your life and what you're supposed to do can be unlocked and can be revealed to you. And this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, I have a handkerchief here. And it's folded. Come on, can you see this? And put it up to my black face. It'll make it stand out a little bit more for you. It's folded. Now, if I were to say this handkerchief is like God, when you look at it, you see one side of it, you see another side of it, and you think that that's all there is. He's your Savior, and he's the one that loves you, and this is all you know about him, that he saved you and he loves you. But the Bible says here that there are manifold wisdom. There are many sides to God. And this is what he says, that now is the time that he's getting ready to unfold the many sides, and you're going to see things about God that you've never seen before. There's more to him than what you see right now. This is why Christianity gets boring, because you're saved already. You know you're going to heaven. You got your fire insurance policy. But there's more to this than that. Come on, are you here? There's more high adventure to this than you just getting to heaven, but living on earth in hell. There's more to this than you showing up at a church service and just listening to words and listening at the screen and listening to music and thinking, what is this about? I've been doing this ever since I was 6 years old. I can remember. And you think that that's all there is to this, because this is all you've ever seen is two sides. But God says that now he wants to reveal to you the many folds of who he is. Come on, are you with me in this place? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to this, verse 5. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That means that you shouldn't just be relying on what other people tell you about God, but that you have experienced the power of God for yourself. He says, howbeit, we speak the wisdom among men that is they are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that have come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. In the spirit, the Bible says, we can speak about the hidden things. We can unlock the wisdom of God in the spirit. That there is a possibility, if you are in Christ, that you can unlock things that make no sense to you right now, that are a mystery to you right now, that you can find a way through the spirit, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can unlock the hidden things of God, the mysteries of God. Come on, as you sit here in this room, every single one of you has a question. Something about how God has moved in your life that you are trying to understand. There is a part of him that you are trying to find. And it's okay, because this is what pulls us forward and closer to God. Why did this happen to me when I was 7? What's going on with this? What's going on with this area of my life? Where should I go to school? Where should I go to college next? How am I going to pass this test? How am I going to get through this season of my life? How are these things going to work? These are all mysteries to you because you don't know how it's going to end. And many times you face obstacles that you don't know what to do. You are stuck in situations and you just don't know what to do. How do I fix this? Scripture tells us it's possible for us to unlock wisdom beyond our natural understanding. And it says that we speak, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes world of God, but we speak in verse 7, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Can I give you one more scripture? Just 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Well, before we go to 14, let's go to 12. Paul says this. He says that I don't want you to be ignorant, people of God, concerning spiritual things. I would not have you ignorant. Now, in many of your Bibles, that word gifts is italicized, which means you could take that word out and it would still be the integrity of that scripture would still be there. So really what Paul is saying is, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts, but I don't want you to be ignorant of spirituals or spiritual things. Because many times we can have natural education, which is nothing wrong with that. Get it. Go for it. And listen, I encourage you, higher learning, higher education is something that we all should pursue. It is something to be pursued with vigor. It's something that we should go after with all of our heart. I'm not here to diminish that in any way. I'm not here to diminish natural intellect. But every one of you know there are things you come up against that your degree or your education cannot help you with. I've been in India and I've had doctors come to me carrying their babies. They are skilled surgeons and skilled doctors, but they cannot help this child. And so they bring them to someone that has spiritual understanding. Because their natural understanding cannot solve the problem. Even though they are trained, they are skilled, they know that there is a limit to natural knowledge, and now they need spiritual knowledge. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now listen. You can be educated and ignorant at the same time. Because you can be educated in the natural and be ignorant in the spirit. And this is why smart people do dumb things. Come on, are you here? This is why educated, smart people make terrible decisions and wreck their life. Because they have natural knowledge, but they are ignorant of the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm is where the enemy comes to attack your life. In the spiritual realm is where everything that you will face and every obstacle in your life will begin. It will begin in the spiritual realm before you ever face it. The devil sees your potential. He sees the greatness that is in you. He sees the beauty that is in you. And his job is to wreck it. He sees the life that God has meant you to live. And he sees the greatness of what you can become better than what you can. And he sees that and he wants to wreak havoc and he wants to wreck that part of your life. Before it ever happens in the natural, it begins in the realm of the spirit. This is why he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual things. Not to have mysteries in your life. Not to know what direction to go in, what to do, what's the best decision, what's the right college, what's the right boyfriend or girlfriend, what's the right thing to do, what's the next step for me, what's the next decision I gotta make, and what am I gonna do? And you worry and you stay up at night and you're trying to remember answers to tests and you're under pressure because you're trying to get all the grades and all the things right, and you've taken yourself to the limit of your natural knowledge, and now you're at the end of that, and now you have nothing left because you need spiritual knowledge to help you for the next step. See, I got everybody's attention with that test taking thing. Come on, amen. Everybody's like, what? Test? What? Help with test? Did he say something about help with taking tests? Listen to this now. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 14, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. He said, don't pursue spiritual gifts. Pursue love. And just desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. For verse 2 says this, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands it. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries." He that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. And in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, he is speaking mysteries. Hidden things, hidden wisdom about things you don't know about. Now, if I came up to Pastor Kwok and I said, "Pastor Kwok, I want to bless you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the situation may be. You could be great, or it could be something, and I'm going to pray for you. Now, I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. We haven't talked. We have no idea. It's a mystery to me. So how can I pray with my understanding if I don't know what the problem is?" So I walk up to him and I go, "Korabashata rebeshe lakatom ramandelebekeredi," and I just say, "Receive that." Now, I don't know what I said, but I know that it was something good. I know I just begin to pray over some issue, something in his life. Maybe he hasn't even come yet, and I begin to address it because I know that when I pray in the spirit, I am speaking mysteries. It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to him. We don't know what the problem is, but I just stop something from happening. I used to live in the nation of India, and I was in India. We went up to the northern part of India, which was controlled by a very vast, very militant Hindu population. And I was in the city of Delhi, which was their stronghold, their capital. And I was in this little guest house one afternoon, and I was going out to go preach in this meeting in the middle of town. And they had warned me, the embassy warned me, "Be careful when you're traveling to Delhi. There are militant groups, there's protests, they are very anti-American, anti-West. And if they find you, there have been some incidents where Americans have been taken, been beat up on the street, and we're just warning you, don't go up to Delhi." But it's not that we don't want to go and obey our government, but we have to obey the higher law. Amen? So we went. And as I'm getting dressed, I was in the hotel room or in this little guest house room, and I was sitting in that room with another pastor, another missionary, and we were getting dressed. And, you know, all of a sudden, as I was walking through there, I just started praying, "Kitatha bakata." And then my friend, the missionary, he said, "Kitakate le kitahata." And I said, "Koto brabahata hakite alahata." And all of a sudden, we broke out into this prayer meeting. We were praying in tongues, and I was waiting for him to say something in English because I'm like, "What are we praying for?" And I just said, but it was strong, and it came out of our spirit, and I knew God was doing something. I didn't know what he was doing. I just knew he was praying. And I was just going, "Orobo," and he was "Ataka," and "Delikita," and he was like, "Bokoto." And so at the end of it, we just stopped, and I was like, "Oh, I just felt the release in my spirit. It was over. I stopped praying." And I said, "What was that?" He goes, "I don't know." And he said, "What'd you think it was?" I said, "I don't know. I just knew it was something good, and I just felt that God wanted us to pray. I didn't know what it was about." So we get in the car, and I'm with a pastor's son who's our driver, and we're driving through Delhi, and he's lost a little bit. And all of a sudden, we drive into this crowd of people with signs and banners, and they're marching, and I'm just like a curious, dumb American, so I roll down the window, "Hey, what you guys doing out here?" And all of a sudden, this pastor's son, who was Indian, he got extremely, extremely scared. And he started like moving the car, bumping the horn. Like he was running over people. And then people turned and like this look on their face was so crazy. Like they were like, "What are you guys doing here?" And I didn't know. I was like, "Hey, hi, everybody." And all of a sudden they started beating against the car with these signs. And I'm like, "Why are they hitting our car?" I rolled down the window. He's like, "Don't do that. Don't do that, Pastor." I'm like, "Hey, quit hitting my car." And he takes off. He's swerves around the corner, two wheels almost, and he comes to this house, he's breathing heavy, and he starts crying. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" He says, "I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I'm like, "Why are you crying? What are you sorry for?" He's like, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." I'm like, "Calm down." I said, "Stop the car." He's like, "I don't want to stop yet." I said, "Just slow down, because you're going to kill us. Stop the car." And he's breathing heavy. And I said, "What happened?" He goes, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And I'm like, what mistake? He's like, you didn't see the signs. You couldn't read them. It was in a different language. But I drove you guys into an anti-American rally. And I turned the corner, he says, and I didn't know what it was. And I drove you all car full of Americans in the middle of an anti-American rally. And they were coming for you. He goes, and I was willing to just lay down my life to get you out of there because I knew what they were going to do to you. And I was like, what? Really? And as soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit said, that's what you prayed for this morning, to get yourself out of that situation. You see, listen to me now. You see, it was a mystery to me. I didn't know that was coming. I didn't know what was going to happen, but God did. And because I can speak about the hidden things of God, I can unlock things that I don't know about. Because I have this ability to pray the mysteries of God, I worked on something that was a complete mystery. I had no idea that was going to happen to me today. And I lived in other countries, and one of the things you got to know about living in other countries is the food can be a little bit strange. And I remember I was over in Indonesia, and I would go back into the mountains, Kalimantan and Sumatra, and I would go into the deep parts, up the rivers, and preaching in villages. And, you know, when you go into those places, you have to have a certain mentality. And the mentality is this: where he leads me, I will follow, and what he feeds me, I will swallow. And whatever they put in front of you, you know this is a meal that they are desperate for themselves, but they want to bless you because you're a man of God. You cannot refuse it. But there's sometimes I'm thinking, God, I'm here to preach. I don't want to be on the toilet all day, all night. And I remember I was sitting in this grass hut and dirt floor, and I said, where's the bathroom? I just wanted to go and, you know, wash up a little bit. And I went through the kitchen, which was a huge mistake. And I saw that they were washing raw chicken in this red bucket. And they were washing the chicken and getting it ready for us to eat. And I said, oh, wow, well, I'm glad they're washing it. And I walked out. And then they came back into the room where we were all sitting with this red bucket full of water. And they took my plate and they dipped it in the water. And before I could say anything, spat, spat, a bunch of rice right onto the plate. Gave me my chicken, put gravy over it, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this. And I'm looking at the people and they're so happy. You see, I didn't know what was in that. It was a mystery to me. And so they said, who wants to pray for the food? And I said, I do. And they said, okay, Pastor Troy. And they thought I was going to pray, dear Lord, help us to appreciate this food and your bounty that you have put before us. And I did not pray like that. I said, join hands, please. And I was like, in the name of Jesus, Korabashataka, Ebrasotom Ramandelebeke, Ebrobo, over this food we pray, Rokoto Koto. Come on. Because it was, I don't know what was in there. And I ate every drop of that food and never got sick. And I said, good Lord, every time I'm in other countries, so you think you go to McDonald's, you pick up something, you go to other countries, everything I pray over. Give me that food. Has anybody prayed over this yet? When you live on the mission field like me, Pastor Quack had, you learn to build faith to pray the mysteries of God over what you eat. You don't know. I've eaten stuff. I don't know what this is. I didn't want to ask. I've eaten monkey. I've eaten dog. I've eaten horse. I've eaten all kinds of things and meats that I don't know what it is. I don't even want to know. I think for sure I had a kitty cat one time. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not so bad if it's cooked right. It's kind of sweet. But it's a mystery to me. Listen to me now. People are coming to me all the time, and they're asking me, Pastor Troy, will you pray for me? See, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's going on in their life. And sometimes it's not appropriate for me to ask, what's wrong with you? And I learned very early on in ministry not to ask that question because you could be up there for 2 hours. Well, when I was six, I'm like, you're 40 right now and we're starting when you were six? I'm like, can we get to the point of what the problem is? So I don't even ask. People come to me and they say, will you pray for me? I say, sure, give me your hand. And I know they're a believer and I begin to pray over them in tongues because I know that it's a mystery to me what's going on in their life. And many times for them, they think it's something, but it's really something else. So they ask me to pray for this or pray for that, pray for a job. But the problem isn't a job. The problem is there's something in your character that God needs to perfect. That's why you keep getting fired. Pray for my marriage. Well, how do you pray for a marriage? Is it two people in the marriage, but you're the only one asking for prayer? So there's a bigger problem than me just praying for you. Amen? Pray for my family. Well, you got five people in your family. Which one you want me to pray for? Right? It's a mystery. But I can speak over that family like I've done many times. And I can pray for things. And it says, we don't know what you prayed, but we broke through. We don't know what you said or what you were talking about, but something powerful happened. You were praying about mysteries. And here's the thing, people. We don't need to know what the problem is. We don't need to know. It needs to stay a mystery for us in some situations, because if you knew, you would mess it up. And some of the things people have told me, I don't want to know. And I say, well, what can I pray for you for? Well, this, I'm like, oh, no, no, stop. Mm-mm. My Christian ears don't need to hear that. That's enough. I get the picture. Amen? TMI. Listen to this now. Here's what the Bible teaches us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you don't have to go over there, but the Bible says this, that the great thing about this is you don't understand it, but also the devil doesn't understand it. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that if he understood this, if the enemy understood what God was trying to do, then they would have never have crucified Jesus. If they understood the mysteries of God, they would have never have crucified Christ, because if they understood, they would have known that crucifixion is what opened the door for all of us to salvation. At the cross, they were laughing. They thought they had won because they were ignorant about the mysteries of God. This is a powerful thing when you think about it, because many times the obstacles in our life are not just the devil, but it's also us. It's not just us, but it's also the devil. And when you pray the mysteries, you take both those things out of the equation. Jude chapter 20 says it like this. It says, you, beloved, building yourself up, praying in your most holy faith. Jude 20. You, beloved, building yourself up, praying in your most holy faith. Now, listen to me now. In your life, every person in this room, there is an area of weakness in your life. You have tried to fix it. You have tried. You have tried to overcome your fear. You have tried to overcome your insecurity. You have tried to overcome lust. You have tried to overcome pornography. You have tried to overcome the things you struggle with, your insecurity, your lack of self-image, all the things that you are struggling with in your life, your anger problem, your problem with depression. You have tried to fix the area of weakness in your life. You have done everything you can. You have prayed. You have had other people pray for you. You laid on the carpet. You got up. You went down, got up, went down again. Come on, amen. There's so much hands laid on you that the top of your hair is gone in the front. Come on. So much oil put on you, you could go out and slide your way out to the parking lot. And still, there is problems that you cannot fix. It is a mystery to you how you're going to get out of this. But the Bible says that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you are praying and building yourself up in an area of weakness that you don't know about. Here's the Troy Marshall translation. He that prays in the Spirit makes himself like a spiritual Rambo. Makes himself like a spiritual rock. Can you smell what the rock is cooking? Come on, are you here? Because you don't know how to fix this. It is a mystery to you. But God knows. And he said that when you pray, you are building yourself up and you are getting rid of weak areas in your life. Listen to me now, please, young people. Come on, look at here, my nice black face. Don't forget this now. This is the main reason why the devil does not want you to pray in other tongues. Because when you are weak, you are easy to control. You are not powerful. You are not dynamic in your faith. You are not winning souls because you're too busy trying to worry about your own problems. You are not full of life and energy and faith because you're struggling all the time working on your own weakness. And he knows that this is something that he has no power to stop. He knows that when you pray in the unknown tongue and you pray over yourself, you pray in the spirit, that you are working on hidden weaknesses. You think it's this, you think you figured out what your problem is, but it's 4 or 5 layers deeper than what you can even understand. And you don't know how to fix it. And you can go through 15 years of psychology. Come on, amen. You can go to a therapist and you sit on their couch and let them charge you $100 an hour. You can give me $100. I'll tell you what's wrong. Pray in more tongues. Come on, amen? Amen. And this is the reason why, even as I speak about this, some of you are intrigued and some of you are nervous, because the enemy has put inside of us that this is something that we should be embarrassed about, something we should be ashamed of, something we shouldn't really want very much of. It's weird. It's this. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that, oh, you can't pray in tongues? People will think you weird. Yeah, the people who you think that about you are the people with a tattoo on their tongue. Come on, amen? They got a bolt through their nose, and they're thinking, oh, that's weird that you pray in tongues. Have you looked in the mirror lately? And they're calling you weird, amen? And you got to understand that this is the main plan of the enemy, to keep you out of the spirit, keep you from working on the areas of your life that you cannot fix on your own, you cannot Christianize your way out of. But these are things that only the deep things of God being revealed to you and the Holy Spirit's power being released in your life can fix it once and for all. Jude says this. He says, building yourself up praying in the Spirit, praying in your most holy faith. Now, listen, I'm going to close with this. Most holy faith. Most holy faith. Most holy faith. Now, there is regular faith, and then there is most holy faith. Amen? Come on, it's like a regular hamburger at In-N-Out, and it's a double-double animal style with extra cheese. Come on, amen? Which one is better? Hallelujah. It's regular faith. And then in Jude, it says most holy faith. There is a difference between regular faith and your most holy faith. Now, listen to me now. When you pray for something in your regular faith and you say, I need this, I need to pass a test, I need to get a better grade, I need to get this fixed, I need money, I need to buy this, I want to do this, and you say, God, I just believe that you're going to give it to me, and I just believe that you're going to fix my family, I believe you're going to fix my life, I believe this, and you pray in faith, and this is what happens. When you pray, your brain goes, well, I hope you get it. And the devil goes, you're not going to get that, you're not worthy of it. And your regular faith gets attacked. And you go, well, I don't know if that's going to happen. I prayed and I asked God. But, you know, I don't see it happening. And then what happens is you think that faith doesn't work. But this is why Jude said that you have to pray not just in regular faith, but in double-double animal style, most holy faith. Most holy faith is the faith that is not touched by you and not touched by the devil. And when you pray in your most holy faith, What you are doing is you are asking God for things that you don't even know you're asking for. And if you can't stop it, and if the devil can't stop it, then what's to prevent you from having whatever you just prayed? Who can stop it? If you can't say, well, I don't think I should have that, I don't think I'm going to get it, and if the devil can't tell you that you can't have it, then whatever you pray in your most holy faith, you will always, always have. It will always come to pass. People ask me, Pastor Troy, do you pray a lot for all the blessings you have in your life? And I said, I pray a normal amount. I'm not Dr. Cho. I'm not praying 3 hours every day. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. I got three kids. Come on. But this is what I do all the day, all the time. I'm in the car. I'm in the shower. I'm walking down the mall. And I just begin this under my breath. Lord, I just believe. I don't know what that was. I just pray, but I just believe that I receive it. And then all of a sudden, people call me. And they say, hey, we want to give you money. And you know what I say? Amen. I know at some point, somewhere, I prayed for that. I don't know. My brain didn't tell me I couldn't have it. God did. God heard it, and the devil didn't. He didn't understand it. And what happens? Stuff just starts popping out, boop, all over the place. All of a sudden, your life, because you're living a life in the Spirit, you're living a life under the Holy Spirit's control, things just get easier for you. Without you knowing how this happened. It's just like I'm happier today than I was yesterday because you've been praying in your most holy faith. And things that you've been praying for, you don't even know about, begin to manifest in your life because the devil can't stop it and you can't stop it. So guess what? Stuff, good stuff, powerful stuff from God begins to pop out in different areas of your life. And as long as you are faithful to give him the glory, it will keep happening. I don't know how I got to where I'm at. I don't know how I got here, Pastor Kwok. I don't know how a guy from a poor family in South Sacramento has gone to 62 nations of the world, planted Bible schools and churches. I'm not that smart, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just not. I got a college degree in football. Amen? I went to college to play football, not for any other reason. And I just have leaned my entire life on the Holy Spirit. And I have trusted him that there's moments and there's things in my ministry, in my family, in my life that are beyond me. And I'm not arrogant and prideful to think that I have so much smarts that I can think my way out of every problem. I'm not so prideful to think that my education, as educated as I am, I read an average of 5 books every month. And I know by the Holy Spirit, even with all my reading, all my education, everything that I've learned over the last 20 years of being in the ministry, there's things that I come up against that humble me all the time. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get out of it. And listen, I'm a man of God. I worked hard to become one. I sacrificed, laid down my life, and God blessed me. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant. I'm saying that because this was not an easy path that I chose. And I live a good life. I live right before God. But still, there are things, attacks, things that come against me, and I don't know what to do. I could tell you, here's 7 steps to your breakthrough, and you could do all 7, and they could not work for you. Instead, there's just 1 step. Pray in your most holy faith and unlock the mysteries of God. Amen. This is what's so wonderful, and we're going to pray for you tonight that are in this room. But if you don't pray in tongues, if you don't pray, you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And listen, I spoke to you about it last night. I'm not here to debate theology with you. If you don't believe it, sit down in your chair and be okay, honey. Come on. It's all right with me. I'm not going to get offended. I'm just going to keep getting blessings and keep getting blessed, keep breaking through, keep building myself up. You can say whatever you want about tongues. This has worked in my life. I don't care if they came out. I don't care if somebody came out with a teaching that said this is not right. I'm going to look at them and go, you crazy. I don't care what you say, how you twist the scripture around. There's nothing that can take this away because this has flat saved my life. Come on, amen. Now, I want to encourage you today. This is not anything weird. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. He makes you more normal. Amen. We're weird now. That's why we need him. You think you're not, but everyone else knows that you're a little bit off. Come on, amen? And this is what makes us normal. This is what makes us people that walk and are even and not off balance, is when we live a life under the control of the Holy Spirit. This is what keeps us from being up and down. One day we're happy, one day we're depressed, one day we don't love God, one day we're not sure if he even exists. That kind of instability is what keeps you off balance and keeps you out of the powerful place that you're supposed to live in with God. Because you face an obstacle and you don't know how to overcome it, so you feel like God is not with you. But God gave you a tool to overcome every obstacle that is a mystery to you. If you will take it tonight, if you will walk in it in boldness, and if you will allow God to move in your life in this arena, and you will begin to become a person that prays in tongues all the time. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than any of you. And how many people know he had a pretty good Christian life? Come on, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What have you written? Come on, are you here? But listen, shipwrecked, left for dead, all these things happened to Paul, robbed, put into prison, but every single obstacle he overcame through the power of the Spirit. I pray in tongues all the time. Quack can attest to this. I pray in tongues all the time. And the great thing about praying in tongues is most people don't know what you're talking. They think I'm from some African nation. They don't know I'm just an American guy. I'm in the elevator. Oh, Rabba Shata. Oh, where are you from? Ghana? Come on, are you here? What will my friends think? They think you got a cool new language. That's what they'll think. They wish they had. How are you saying that? And here's what I want you to understand about this. This is something that the enemy has made us think is strange, weird. We don't know. This is going to do what it's going to do to us. And many times we've seen adults who are as crazy as a $3 bill. And you've seen them in church like I have, and they're shaking, they're doing all that stuff, and they ask you, what's that? And they go, that's the Holy Ghost. And you go, well, do you want them? Like, no, I'm fine. And you've seen people do crazy stuff, and that's the Holy Ghost. And people ask, you want to receive the Holy Ghost? You're like, no, not today. And I'm here to tell you, it's not like that. You don't have to be weird and strange in order to walk in a deep place with God. You don't have to be some person that's always on the ground shaking, one hand always moves. Come on. Your right leg twitches when the Holy Spirit is in the room. I just want to encourage you that this gift that you're about to receive will make you more normal. Will make you more like Christ. It will not make you weird. It will not make you strange. It will not take you into some weird place and make you off balance. It will not hinder your education. I'm not asking you to take your brain out and put it on the shelf. Amen? Keep your brain. You need it. It just can't solve every problem in your life, but the Holy Spirit can help you with the problems that your brain cannot solve. You need both to live a great life. It doesn't have to be one or the other. You need a combination of the word and the life of God and the Spirit of God, but also the natural wisdom that you are learning right now in school and where you're at. We're not here to take that away from you. We want you to use good common sense. We want you to be good people with an education. But we also want you to have spiritual knowledge tonight. Not just natural knowledge, but spiritual knowledge. And this is how you get it. You begin to read the Bible, stuff opens up to you because you prayed and God begins to reveal the deep things, the mysteries to you. And scriptures you've read 5 or 10 times, you never understood, all of a sudden, through the power of the Holy Spirit, they begin to open to you and things begin to make sense. Your Bible comes alive because you begin to unlock the mysteries of God. Tonight, this is what's going to happen. I'm not going to touch any of you because I am not the baptizer. Jesus is. He promised in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and you shall receive power. And this is the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he is already here. We do not have to pray for him to come. We don't have to pray for 5 hours and ask him to come into the room. He is here. He's been waiting on this moment for many of you for your entire life. And this is what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 2, it says that they were all in one accord in the upper room. Not one accord, the car, amen? Not the Honda Accord, amen? But they were all in agreement together in the upper room. And the Bible says that as they prayed and asked God, the Holy Spirit came down and touched them. And it says that as they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that they began to speak in other tongues. Listen to me now. This is not something that is outside the realm of your control. This is what I want to get you to see. The Bible says that they, after they received the gift, they began to pray in other tongues. That means that the Holy Spirit didn't come over them and go, and move their mouth for them. Oh, I don't know what's happening. My mouth is moving like your Pinocchio. That's not the way this works. Jesus will fill you tonight. You will be filled, but you will have to open your mouth and begin to pray. He will not move your mouth for you, because if that was the way it worked, he'd have to move it every time you prayed in tongues. And this is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. What is he saying? He says, I will. That means it is up to him to pray whenever he wants and to stop praying whenever he wants. Come on, are you here? That means that it's your gift once it comes over your life. That you can start praying whenever you want and you can stop praying whenever you want to. And I believe that some of you in this room, years ago, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and you made a conscious choice to stop praying in the Spirit. You stopped. And it's your choice. The Holy Spirit will not make you do this. But if you want to start again and kickstart your prayer life and kickstart your spiritual life again, you can do that tonight by saying, tonight I will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and I will pray in the Spirit tonight before I leave this room. Yeah.